Now more of The Bernie Show on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Oh, now that's a good song right there.
Hey, little girl, you don't have to
that's
hide
good
nothing
stuff.
No more.
Jim Huber could make,
you didn't do nothing to
make a, for a pretty good DJ.
There was a time I did some of that.
I'm sure you did. Now, I know you have an expansive knowledge of music, and it's really good, because I mentioned some drummer one time where I was listening to some drummer who like kind of peaked in the 60s, and I thought the stuff was really good, and I don't mind listening to just the drummer. And I'm sorry, I can't think of his name. And you came up with it in like 8 seconds.
Oh, I don't remember who it was. Were we talking about Sandy Nelson or somebody like that?
Well, I'll do the research, because I have some of the stuff on my playlist, but... Yeah, that's good stuff. We got to find that, and you give the people a little sample of that.
That one was Syndicate of Sound, Little Girl.
Yeah, that's really good. I'll find that on my list.
Okay,
it might be Sandy Nelson, but I can't swear to it. Hold on 1 second. I'll find him. I'm determined.
You're determined now
to find him. Not Hal Blaine, who is maybe the best.
Oh,
ever.
You know what? We were talking about him, though, too, because of talking about the Wrecking Crew documentary we watched, or I watched.
You know, it could be Sandy. No, I'm as usual, I'm embarrassed, and I know our listeners are irritated.
All their music fans, too, now. Come on.
I think it is Sandy Nelson.
Okay.
See, you did remember.
Okay. I thought we talked about him at one point.
And he just passed away in 2022.
Okay.
And, he was outstanding. Sandy Nelson, if people want to check it out on iTunes or Spotify, whatever your jam is. All right. You know who another guy Cardinals fans are talking about? And, again, I pass no judgment. I like suggestions. So we talked about Moises Gomez. The guy who – when I hear from – people, or I spent time on Twitter, which I haven't been for the last few days. No reason. I'm not down on it, but I just didn't fit in the schedule. Even though I was off, I was really, really busy, you know, and doing other things, which is good, which is healthy. So I got to get back on the Twitter groove. But people are just keep asking, well, why don't they give this guy Lucan Baker a chance? Mm-hmm. And listen, the big fella in 186 at bats has got 16 homers, and he's driven in 51 runs, and he's got a slugging percentage 629. He also draws a hell of a lot of walks, because I'm sure the pitchers down there, AAA, are like, oh, no, I'm not going to throw meat to the lion here. Maybe bear would be a better term, because he's a big guy. Now, I ain't taking shots at him, but he's a really big guy. I'm the last guy that should be doing that. So I'm not doing that in a context of, you know, sort of making fun of him, but he's pretty huge. And I don't know if he can play any defense whatsoever. I know he was a first baseman in DH at Texas Christian, and he's always had a pretty good bat. It took him a while to get to this level. I mean, he's at 26 years old, so he's not a kid, but he was a draft pick, you know, way back in, because it seems like way back. Second round of the 2018 draft. So they drafted him as a bat, and you know, the bat has been booming. But again, you can't put him in the outfield. I don't think they would want to put him at first base. Could he somehow surface in a DH-type capacity? I mean, he's a right-handed hitter. And he definitely has abundant power. But does it limit their flexibility if you have a guy that really can't, you don't really feel, you know, you would be comfortable with him in the field? Maybe I'm not being fair, but I'm not taking any shots at anyone. This year, for Memphis, he has played he's played first base most of all. I do believe that position's taken, though.
Mm-hmm.
And he's played, he's played basically the last couple years, he's played first base and he's DH'd. So I don't know what to say about him, but I just let y'all know, because I know a lot of you have been mentioning his name. I just wanted to fill you in on him. I don't know what to say about it. It's kind of the thing too. You know, you would hope that they would take a look at him in the majors, because you got nothing to lose. And the last thing you want to do is, now that he's maybe peaking in his career, is you just say, oh, well, we can cast him aside. We got other guys. And then he becomes a hit sensation somewhere else. That's happened a lot, too much. Another thing, Jim, yep. And again, this is what, I'm sorry, this is the other thing that just kind of, this is so typical Cardinals, if that's the way to put it. You know, I've been tracking Ivan Herrera, who has been making top 100 prospect lists for years now, and he's still only 22 years old. But he was starting to show up on top prospects like when he was 18 years old and 19 years old for sure. And he's still only 22, which surprised me, because I thought, well, he's probably about 24 now. No. He is having a blast of a season for Triple-A Memphis, Ivan Herrera, catching prospect that the Cardinals don't want to use. He's hitting 300. He's got a 430 on base. He draws a lot of walks, and he's slugging 535. So hits doubles all over the yard, takes a lot of walk. His plate discipline has really improved. Like I said, he's got four or five homers, but a lot of doubles. And he's still on top prospect lists. And the Cardinals have only given him like a one-week look back in 2022 when Molina was off in Puerto Rico or something. And, you know, they just needed to have – I think they said, hey, this will give us a chance to look at it. They obviously didn't like what they saw, because, number one, he never appeared again in the major leagues. And, number two, they went out and spent $87.5 million on Wilson Contreras. And, number three, for whatever reason, the organization still looks at Andrew Kisner, and they see what they see is the second coming of Buster Posey or something. I don't know. So there's no room at the end here for Herrera. And I think it's obvious where this is headed, or it should be obvious, is he's blocked from catching, and they apparently don't like the way he handles things, or at least that was the opinion when he first came up, because I think we can now state without any hesitation, anybody who was not Yadier Molina in his prime is not good enough to catch for the Cardinals, which is a pretty ridiculous standard to put in, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, that third baseman the Orioles have, this is my own experience. You know, yeah, I know he's hitting 20-some home runs, and, you know, he's got a good batting average, but he's not Brooks Robinson. You know, you would think, now, fans and media are more prone to saying stuff like that, holding a new guy, holding it against him because he's not like a Hall of Fame caliber player. But you would think that the people that actually run the teams and manage the teams, they would like maybe kind of bop themselves in the head with something that not too hard, something that's cushioning, but just kind of bop themselves in the head and say, wait a minute, wake up. You can't do that to all these catchers. You can't compare them to Yadier Molina, and because they're not Yadier Molina, you cannot be a baby, a sophomoric talent evaluator, and say, well, he's not, you know, he's nowhere near Yachty, so we can't play him. How crazy is that? Right?
Yeah, it's really ridiculous. It's silly.
So this kid's going to get traded, and I just hope that they get something really good for him. Go ahead, Jim, and I'm sorry.
No, when you brought him up, as I'm thinking this through, I'm like, he's probably never going to play, and he'll never even get a sniff here. And it just, as you say those words, Bernie, it screams, a Rosarina, all over again. It's just right. In my mind. I'm like, here we go again.
Right.
We signed this guy, Contreras, and we're, you know, trying to tell him how to catch again, because he doesn't know how to do it, even though he's an all-star and won a World Series. And then you got Kisner, who, hey, we love them. The pitcher's loving the pitcher. And you got a guy who's going to be hitting and driving in runs, but we don't have a spot for this guy. Sorry. No, don't even want to look at him. I mean, this thing is getting silly with that situation. And everybody who does anything with prospects has always had him in the top 100 for what, the last two and a half years in terms of prospects? You're going to tell me you're not even going to look at him.
Keith Law, in 2022, And I trust Keith Law.
Mm-hmm.
I know that he can be abrasive to the point where some people just think he's, well, as he jokes, everybody thinks that he hates their team, whatever their team is. And he, for whatever reason, you know, it annoys people that he's got really strong opinions, or if their team, name the team, it doesn't matter, has three or, you know, two or three or four guys that they're excited about. If he dings one of them and says like he's overrated or this, he does not have the hit tool, is they really take the stuff personally. I've always found Keith Law trustworthy because I know how hard he works at this, and I know that not only does he have a good eye for evaluating talent, but he understands what's important when you're doing the evaluations, and he's not lazy, and he works on it all the time, and he has an excellent list of contacts in front offices and everywhere else. In fact, Keith Law once worked for the Blue Jays. When he tells me something, no one bats a thousand, but when he tells me something about a prospect, I trust him because I know that this is something that he is supremely dedicated to getting it right. And in 2022, Keith Law said on our show, and of course in what he writes at The Athletic, he said Herrera was good enough to be a major league starter right now. He's a little rough around the edges defensively, but he's got a terrific bat. He should be starting for someone in the majors right now. That was 2020. In fact, that might have been 2021. I take that back. That was 2021. Or early in 2022, and I apologize for not being 100% sure, but he had him as a major league starter at least at no further back than early in 2022.
He will not. I'll be lucky to see him in the Cardinal uniform again. That's a shame.
Now,
unless somebody gets hurt, then yeah, they'll have to go that route.
No, they have to. He's behind Trace Barrera, man. What are you talking about?
I'm sorry. I don't know how I could have made that mistake. Silly me.
So, anyway, the only thing you can hope for, if you're a Cardinals fan, scouts are all over this guy, and general managers and president of baseball operation types are all over this guy because there's a buzz around him because he has his offense, which was good, has gone up to the great level. And even though it's AAA, these are really impressive numbers, and it shows progress where you could track a guy's getting better and better and better and better. And he's ready. And the only hope, to finish the point, I'm sorry, is that there will be some teams that the Cardinals want to do business with who really want a young catcher.
Mm-hmm.
The catcher situation around Major League Baseball ain't great. And there will be a – I have to believe he's going to be very appealing on the trade market. So maybe it'll pay off, or maybe he'll go somewhere else and become a big star.
I think I'm going with the latter one there. I think he's going to go somewhere and knock it out of the park. I mean, he's leaning that way. And he's young. Like you said, it's not like time's passing him by. He's just starting out. He's figuring things out. The final thing I'll say on this kid –
sure.
Is, you know, whatever it is that they're trying to get Contreras to figure out, to teach him, because he just doesn't know how to catch, they should be able to do that here in the last year and a half with this guy. It should already be whatever those habits are that they want out of their catcher. He should have been able to figure that out and be on that path where he should be about ready to knock on the door by now. If not, shame on the Cardinals, because he's in their organization. Tell them, teach them the way you want to teach them. And if you can't start to figure that out by now, it's on them. They're not doing it right.
What I would like to know, and it's my fault for not trying to find out, when they brought him up last season briefly, I remember it was that series at Fenway Park, and then he was gone soon after that. He didn't play much.
Right.
They were so like, oh, my goodness, he's not even close to being a big league catcher, talking about defensively.
Right.
They could not wait to get him on a plane back to Memphis. And what I don't understand is, where is the disconnect? And it raises serious questions to me. Where's the disconnect from the time that John Mozeliak picks up the phone or he text messages the key people in Memphis, you know, a couple coaches, certainly the manager, and say, look, we're thinking about bringing Herrera up because we need a catcher. Is it, you know, it's a chance to give him, you know, it's a chance, opportunity to give him a chance, big leagues, see what he's doing, or just give him an example or show him that, you know, the difficulties, how much he's got to get better and everything. You know, that's what you say when it's a young player. But usually the people, if they're doing their jobs right and if they're honest, they'll tell you if there are red flags and say, no, I wouldn't do that. He's really, really rough behind the plate. So I want to know where that disconnect is, right?
Yeah.
Because they could not wait to get the kid back to Memphis. It was almost like they were offended by his presence. And so what? Why didn't anyone in position of authority in Memphis just say, look, I think in a couple years he's going to be, you know, much better behind the plate, and the way he hits, it's a good trade off. But no, I can't in good conscience tell you he's ready to catch in the big leagues. I think it would be kind of a mess, you know. And I would just say let him continue to make progress down here. So did that conversation occur? Apparently not.
Doesn't appear that way. You're right. It's a shame. It's really tough.
I'm sorry, Jeff.
One text. You'll like this.
I like all of them.
Says, if Daniel Vogelbach can play in the majors, Luke and Baker can play somewhere.
You got that right. Or how about Rowdy Tellez? Although I think Rowdy's probably carrying less luggage than Lucan.
Yes, a little less, but yeah, they're all similar type players. That's a good call. Yeah.
Yeah, and Rick Hummel and I developed a term for guys like Luke and Baker. And again, we would do this and it actually became like a term of endearment because we always liked to watch when it'd be high school games at Busch Stadium after the Cardinals were done on a Sunday. And we would always, me and the commission would always be, all right, man, you got any big shooters out there? Where are the big shooters? Oh, there he is. There he is. The commission would say, there he is, bud. I think that's our shooter. Meaning just a really big human being, you know?
Yes.
Kamish called them big shooters. So
Luke and Baker
may be the epitome, the very definition of a big shooter.
Absolutely he is.
And Kamish agreed because we talked about him.
Yes, we did.
We talked about him on the air, not this season, but I know we did last year.
In spring training, right?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
He's a big Kamish. He's a big shooter, bud. I don't know if the lad he can play any defense, but he's definitely a big shooter. So anyway,
that is awesome.
Let's take a timeout. We're going to get ready here for Dane Perry, right? 5 o'clock.
Yes,
coming up. But first, I want to tell you about Saliga Heating and Cooling, independent American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. We've been a Saliga family since, I don't know, I always, you know, I try to estimate 14, 15 years at least. And that's the point. We're so used to them and so happy with them. We don't count the years because it just goes on and on and on because we have no reason to count years. You just call Saliga. That's our experience because we're big fans and they've helped us quite a few times. This independent American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer has been around since 1927, and they're still growing, they're still going strong. Four generations, including my friend Dan Saliga, have been the family owner-operator of this really high-standard business where they want to get it right, they insist on getting it right, and they want to make their clients happy. They don't want to make mistakes or do anything that would cause a client, a family, to say, I don't know. They want to be the one you call, and they believe that you have to earn it, and they do. And I'm speaking of like 15 years of experience with them. So if you have any problem with your air conditioning, because it is definitely air conditioning season, it's making funny noises, it's not blowing enough cold air, you kind of adjust things and nothing happens. And you're like, well, what in the world could be wrong with this? Call Saliga because you will get an answer, and you can trust them. Again, I ask you to trust me when I say that, but the Miklases have been calling Saliga for 15 years. And they've always got the job done and highly professional, 100% trustworthy. They don't play games. It's like, well, I'm going to go out there and tell them they need a whole thing. No, that's an affront to even think that they would do something like that. 100% credible and trustworthy, and that's maybe the biggest selling point other than the fact that they're obviously great at what they do, or they would not still be around after opening their doors in 1927. And as a bonus, the high-efficiency American Standard heating and air conditioning equipment is part of the whole Saliga universe. Call them if you have questions or problems, and I hope you don't have something break down. But if you do, any of these reasons, 314-481-7333, or go to their site, and you can check out all the services they offer, SaligaHeatingandCooling.com. That's SaligaHeatingandCooling.com. We'll be back, and when we are back, we'll be just a few minutes away being joined by CBS Sports baseball writer analyst Dane Perry, who has a terrific Cardinals blog out called Birdie Work. And we'll talk more about that as well with Dane Perry. That's coming up at the top of the hour. Stay with us, please. Thanks for listening.